When altar calls are given, are you coming to receive or are you coming to give?
Receive.
To receive. Amen? Now, what is a simple principle, the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest ye be angry. How many of you know that's in the Bible? No? It's there. It's in Psalms. I can read it for you in Psalms chapter 3. It says, kiss the Son. Is everyone say, kiss the Son? Lest ye be angry. Well, what does that mean? You know, well, it means that you cannot kiss and talk at the same time. That's deep. When I'm kissing my wife, I ain't doing any talking. You cannot kiss and talk at the same time. It's a simple principle. When you come to receive, you need to know how to receive from the Lord. Can you say amen? So what religion does is you come to receive and then you praying. But if you praying, then why should I pray for you? That's religion, you see. So when you come to the altar call, this altar call is called the well. Say wells, the wells of God. We open up the wells. We open the wells up. The Bible talks about these wells, amen, that was renamed by Isaac. Isaac means laughter, amen. And the Bible says that Isaac re-dug the wells. I'm a well digger. By the way, there's only two businesses that you can start on top. How many of you like to know what those two businesses are? One is grave digging. Oh, yeah. The second one is oil digging. You see, those are the only two businesses you can start on top. A guy wrote to his, he went to the city from the you know, one of those areas and where he was staying up in the some countryside. And he went over and he said, Dad and Mom, he said, how are you doing, son? We're doing great and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, I got thousands of people under me. He dug graves. Go ahead and take a seat. Amen. So, you know, the thing is, we are well diggers. Can you say amen? There was a ministry by John G. Lake. How many of you know John G. Lake? John Alexander Dowie. But John G. Lake was a man that brought God used mightily. He came to South Africa when he was 38 years old. And there's some parallel there. I was 38 years old and God brought me here to this America. 38 I was. And some similarities. And his wife died in the battlefield. John G. Lake's wife died in the battlefield. He buried his wife there. And so, you know, my wife passed away. I was married for 45 years. And my wife passed on the battlefield. So a lot of similarities. And John G. Lake they used to have this healing homes. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. Amen. All over, they still have it. Yeah. And the place where he lived in Spokane, Washington, there was not one sick person that lived in that house. The person that bought the house and lived in the house, nobody ever got sick. See, because that home, God, when we host the presence of God, there's a residue of God's presence that remains in a home. So I went over to Chicago to visit my daughter because she lived in Schaumburg, Illinois at that time. And I said, look, I want to go do something. I want to go and visit John Alexander Dowie. I want to go visit his home. He lived up in a place called, I can't get the name of the city right now, Zion City, Illinois. That's what it is. It comes by the Holy Spirit. Zion, I mean, if it was Zion City, Illinois. I mean, everything you talk about signs, wonders, and miracles. And you can see all the wheelchairs and the canes hanging around all throughout the sanctuary. So I went over there and got a picture taken, and it was the house where he lived. And so I go there and I said to my family, my daughter was me, my, you know, I call them son in love. And so I said, look, I want to get in there. I want to see this place. And I love to just go look at it. So I said, let me first go knock at the door and see who's there. And so because of maintenance, the city owns the building and they couldn't keep up the maintenance. At that point in time, they were thinking of basically shutting it down. Beautiful home. I think it was like three stories. I can't remember. And so I knock at the door and there was a group in there. So they hire the place to have praise and worship. They come in to praise and worship in that home. So I looked at the door. I said, "Look, I'm so and so, and I, you know, is it okay for me to just look?" They said, "Well, we got the place only for X number of hours," and they said, "I said, look, I'm from South Africa. And I said, look, you know, this is who I am, and I promise you, I'll just, you know, the Bible talks to David, so I can run through troops and jump over walls. Can you say amen? That's what David said. When the anointing of God come upon you, you can jump through troops and leap over walls. Amen? So anyway, I said, look, I'll go quickly. I said, look, and I come a long way. So they said, yeah, okay, all right, fine. So anyway, I go in there and go through the place. And then I remember walking the bedroom where his bed was. And they got all the artifacts and all the things there. And the presence, a tangible presence of God was still in that building. Right there, because I know. When God's tangible, the Shekinah glory of God, the abiding presence of the Lord was still in John, not John G. Lake's house, but John Alexander Dowie's house. I mean, very, very powerful. Right there, I began to just weep. And I said, my God, look at this place. It's still got a residue of the anointing. Amen? This building has some history with past revivals. Pastor was talking about Dr. Jack Aford and amen, and how we had meetings here, and the Jesus movement. I mean, if you saw that movie, The Jesus Revolution, you remember that movie? Amen. I can remember all that back in the day, and so the residue of the anointing of the Lord. You say, well, are there scriptures in the Bible? Well, how would you like to know about a prophet? They buried him. And then they wanted to bury another, do those burials back in the days, they got these sepulchres. So they placed this, I mean, think about this, okay? They placed this body, they lowered the body, and his body touched the bones. Say the bones. You see, that dead prophet's bones had more anointing than some of the preachers who are alive today. Because the anointing can be stored up in inanimate objects. When I get a little bit under the influence, amen, you begin to slur your words. That's one of the signs that you're drinking. Amen? This is one job where I can drink on the job. Right. Amen? Right. Oh, yeah. You see, you've got to belly up to Joel's place. Say Joel's place. This is now Joel's place. Amen? What do you do at Joel's place? You belly up to the bar. Amen. You take a drink. Can you say amen? Amen. It's amazing, isn't it? Some of us back in the day, you know, go to the clubs and I know some of you are probably still going, but I mean, if you, you know what, it's a belly up to the bar, right? And then, you know, you have a couple drinks, and before you know it, I mean, you know, you basically, your head is upon a person's shoulder they don't even know. You're crying and telling this person all about your problems. Right? I mean, what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, think about we in the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, where is excess, debauchery. But he says, listen to this. It's in the Greek, it's being continually filled. Well, I had a filling this morning. Yeah, but you sprung a leak before you went to the parking lot. I mean, seriously. So God is saying to us tonight, which I'm trying to make it up as I go along. You know, that's what revival is. Revival is you make it up as you go along. Amen? Until God shows up. See, William Branham used to be on the pulpit, and he used to just up here, just stand and just almost like he's just, you know, just talking and rambling away. And suddenly the angel of God will appear right there. And the angel will tell him exactly what the person's name was, what the sicknesses are. But he was to wait for that angel. They took pictures of him with a halo on his head. Young boy walking, and suddenly God begins to speak to him through the trees. And he got frightened for his life and ran when he heard that voice. And God is a God of the miraculous. Can you say amen? And you can't make this up. Even if you tried, you cannot make it up. Because it's not about us trying to push the Holy Spirit. No. Oh, the Holy Spirit, some people are what we call God's big pushovers. He doesn't need our help. He can touch people. Sovereignly, he can touch people. Amen? But God anoints vessels. Say vessels. And we got to come with a spirit of expectancy. Now, the example is given. If you come to the altar, how do I receive from God? Well, let me ask you. Let me give you some quick practical things. Can you say amen? Because I want you to listen. In these services, you're going to, this is what the world says. The world says, well, get all you can, and can all you get, and sit on your can. That's world. He's the world. We say, get all you can all you get, and then open your can. Can you say amen? Amen. That's a weak amen. Some of you are still sitting on that thing. Amen? So, anyway, how do you receive? I'm glad you asked me. How many of you here are, you got a valid driver's license, you drive? All right. Now, when you're driving, you come to, there's different signs, right? Remember the stoplight, when you come to a stoplight, there's three lights. What are those three lights? Red means to stop, not to speed. The second one is what? Yellow light. What does that mean? Caution. And then you get what other light? What light is that? Well, in God, one of the ways that you know how to find out the will of God is by three words. Amen? God's got three words. If you want to get married, you've got to have the word. Say the word. But remember now, you in school, and you don't have, even though you got the word, okay, of God, is God's will for you, us to marry? Yeah, right? No? What are you doing married then? Okay. Is it God's will for you to marry? Yes, okay. Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. Yes? That's not a trick question. So is it God's will for you to get married? Is it, do you have a word from God? Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Amen? Say good thing. Hallelujah. It's a good thing, the Bible says. And then he says, no good thing you'll pull from those who walk uprightly before me. You walk uprightly, there's a good thing waiting for you. Can you say amen? The word of God says, how much more will the Holy Spirit give the good things of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? Say how much more. Because God's got more in 24. He's got more. We can do more in 24 for the kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. King's Chapel, West Virginia, right here in the city of Fairmont, God says, God's got more for you. Amen. 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 And that is God's word for us. He always has more. We don't level off. We don't become like the Dead Sea. We are the Sea of Galilee. Dead Sea. If you're either Dead Sea or the Red Sea. The Dead Sea is flow to me. And you get stopped up. See? But the Sea of Galilee is flow through me. See, everything's got to flow through you. Can you say amen? Amen? If everything doesn't flow through you in the natural, you get constipated. And it's very painful when you get constipated in the natural. Well, we got the same principle in the realm of the spirit. There are churches that are constipated. You've got to look at the faces of the people and you'll see that they are spiritually constipated. Why? Because your body is made up of 70% of water. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. You got to drink more than you eat. Going to say it again. You got to drink more than you can eat. This is God's Bible. This is God's word. God breathed, God indwelt, God inspired. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Can you say amen? It's a settled issue. This we're not here to settle issues. If you don't drink, you are gonna die of constipation. If your body is made up of 70% of water, if you only eat all the time, you will be constipated. They tell you that you got to drink a lot of water to flush the system. In the natural, the reason why we're drinking the water, if you don't drink enough water And if you're only eating and if you don't eat right, it's going to be painful. What is God saying to us? God says that we need to drink. Amen? As the deer panted for the water brook, so our heart panted after him. Why does God want to open up these wells? Why does God want to... We said, take another drink. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Because we do not know how to receive. And I can understand that myself. I was just confined, like I said this morning, in one of the first services, I think I was confined just to the platform. And, you know, at Albert, all back, I used to write all my sermons out. Everything I should have written by my hand. My wife now says to me that she couldn't even decipher, because I was known as a doctor when I was raised up in our community in South Africa. They used to call me Dr. Stephen. And because my parents wanted me to become a doctor. And so I was known then to become a doctor. Amen. But I'm a doctor today of philosophy, theology. Can you say amen? And this is a higher calling. God spoke a word once to the presbytery. He says, son, you could have been anything you want. You could have been a doctor. You could have been a lawyer. But you have chosen to be my man. I'm God's man. You can't buy me. You can't sell me because I'm already sold. Can you say amen? That's how, it's a do or die mentality. We're all going to die one day. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It doesn't matter how weak you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how thin you are, how skinny you are, how fit you are. It doesn't matter if you got 6-pack, 12-pack, no pack. I got 6-pack, it's underneath, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. We're all going to die. Amen? Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Let's die in style. Can you say amen? Let's die in the Lord. We shouldn't be afraid of death. We shouldn't be afraid of death. Why? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. It's called instant death, instant glory. Hallelujah. Last breath, yeah, first breath up there. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul says, for me to live is gain. What he said? For me to die is what? Gain, but to live is Christ. He said, it's more needful for you that I be in this body. Why? Why is it more needful for us to be in this body? So we can glorify him. So we can spread the good news, the gospel. Can you say amen? Amen. We all of us are going to be accountable when you stand before God. And the question is going to be asked, what have you done with Jesus? Catherine Coleman said, the day when we stand before God, people will be weeping. Because now that when you're standing before God, you would have looked back in retrospect and said, you know, I could have accomplished so much for the kingdom of God. I could have done so much for the church. He said, but people will be weeping too late. It's like the man who died and went to hell. And he thinks because he bosses people around and he thinks he can boss people also when he's out there. Amen. The Bible talks about him. Suddenly now he goes to hell and now he becomes a missionary. Well, he's a missionary now in hell. 5 things he did. One of the things was he had a missionary calling out. He said, well, listen, you know what? Number one, send Lazarus to go dip his finger in water and come and, you know, I'm thirsty here. See? Lazarus was the man was sitting at the gate licking. The Bible says the dogs came and licked his sores. The man saw him at the gate and ignored him. Amen. That Lazarus died and he was carried. Say carried. The rich man died and he was buried. Say buried. One went down, the other one went up. Amen? Hallelujah. What does it mean to be buried and to be carried? When a child of God dies, angels come and they carry you into the presence of God. That's what the Bible says. One died and that was the rich man. He was buried. Why would the word be buried and carried? We, God's angels, hallelujah, they escort us into the presence of Almighty God. Can you say amen? So we shouldn't really be afraid. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen? So what is God saying to us? How do you receive? Well, you're driving. You've got driver's license. You've got to come to this. So you got, first of all, we spoke about three W's. Number one, what? The word. Number two, the will, right? God's word. Yes, I'm going to get married. Number two is the will of God. And number three is the way of God. How are you going to get married when you got... when you're still in college, or you're still in university, or you're still in school, or you're still underage? There's no way. Say no way. No way. No way, Jose. Why? Because you are underage. Because you don't have the resources. Come on now. Amen. I'll tell you when you know your children have really grown up. Deep. when they can pay their own bills. Oh, yeah. When they can pay their own bills, they've really grown up. That is a sign of maturity. Can you say amen? Anyway, so you got to have the word. First of all, you got to find the will of God and the word of God. Then you got to find the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen? Well, God says to us the same thing when it comes to when you're driving, there's certain rules, certain regulations, okay? So you're driving and suddenly you come to a sign. It is a triangle sign it's in red. What sign is that? Right. What sign is it?
Yield, the caution.
The caution sign. Amen. Oh, you shout it out.
Yield.
Okay. So what do you do? How do you become a yielded vessel? See, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. I'm going to say it again. That's Catherine Kuhlman again. God is not looking for golden vessels. He's not looking for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. Amen. When you pray to God, you become yielded. When you're witnessing, you become yielded. We don't know what it is to truly yield to God. So the yielded sign, when you come to it, as you're approaching it, what is the first thing we do?
First thing we do. We yield.
Yeah, we slow down. Say slow down. Say slow down. When you come to the altar, slow down. Slow down. Can you say amen? Why? Because you're going to become a yielded vessel. Right? So you slow down. And then what do? You look to the? Look to the? Whichever way you're looking. Amen. And then if a car is coming, what do? You stop. And then what do? You heal the right of way. What do? You give up your right of way. As I'm going to say it again, we do not know what it is to give up our rights. We want our rights. You've got to give up your rights. And you become yielded to the Holy Spirit. You slow down when you come. Revival is where we, listen, Charles Finney said you can overdo the excitement. Even the excitement can be overdone. But when God comes into a place, when he comes by his Spirit of God, I hear lots of people talking about revival. I hear people teaching about revival. But the Paul said, when I came amongst you, I didn't come with rhetoric. I never come with man's wisdom. I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, God. That's what the Word of God says. Can you say amen? Where's the demonstration? We're living in a generation that needs the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. What happens when the Holy Spirit shows up? Your life is never the same. Amen. People run to the altars. Hallelujah. They, people get touched by the power of God. Marriages are healed. But divorced couples about to divorce each other get touched by the power of God. Fall in love right here at these altars. That's why we open up the altars. I went to a church up in New Orleans. A wonderful pastor. He was in this building project of his. The power of God hit that place. And we had churches from all over come it's called Abundant Life, New Orleans. Wonderful man of God, woman of God, and wonderful people. And he said, when I build a sanctuary, he said, show me the plans. He said, I'm taking 250 chairs out of the around the altar. Some of the churches you go, these chairs are right up here. You know what that tells me? It's what Lester Summerall says. Lester Summerall says, if you got, with due respect to senior folks, he said, if you only got senior folks, you're a dying generation. He said, you are a dying generation. Lots of churches are dying on the vine. Lots of preachers are dying on the vine. This is not the time for us to give up on the brink of a miracle. This is not time for you to do your own thing. You got to yield your right to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we seek God on our knees. That's why we seek God on our face. That's why we cry out to him. That's why we run to the altar and we grab hold of the horns of the altar and we cry and we worship and we seek the face of God. Hallelujah. God is looking for people that are serious about him. You may know a lot of Greek. You may know a lot of Hebrew. And some of them become spiritual submarines. They get so deep, you can't even find them. There's nothing wrong with the Greek and the Hebrew. Some of them are having tea with the Greek and the Hebrew. It's those who know their God, Daniel 11:32, shall be strong. And they'll do mighty exploits for God. Can you say amen? The man that knows God, the woman that knows God shall be strong. Daniel 11:32 is the reference. Hallelujah. Daniel 11:32 says those who know their God shall have mighty corresponding actions. Hallelujah. So you come to the altar. Remember, you cannot kiss and talk at the same time. How many of you kiss your wife and while you're kissing, you're talking to her too? No, you're kissing her. Can you say amen? You kiss the Son. You get intimate with God. Amen. Intimacy means into me see. God wants to see right through us. And God, listen, God can see through us. Can you say amen? He sees our hunger. You know, the vehicle that I have now is a Mini. It's a Countryman. And that thing just burnt. I mean, it's a BMW. You know, it's got a great engine. It's fast and spacious. Oh, yeah, it's fast. And it's spacious. Fast and spacious, I call it. I had a lot of utility SUVs and all that. And anyway, God has blessed me with this wonderful vehicle. And it burns up a lot of oil for some reason. And every time I got to take the dipstick, you know. Yeah, I mean, if you know what a dipstick is. So, you know, if God comes tonight and puts a dipstick in your life, my sister, my brother. No, seriously. If God comes tonight and puts a dipstick in your life, where would the reading be? The Mini has got exactly, it's got this kind of a upper, there's something that just protrudes up in the front, and it's got all the different measurements. And so when you put it in and you pull it out, you wipe it and all that. My father was a motor technician, and, I just don't like getting my nails dirty, or neither my hands, and, you know, I don't even know how. I cannot live out of a suitcase, and then God chooses me to go and do revival services for weeks and months upon and stay in a hotel and live out of a suitcase. And do you have a hair dryer in the hotel? Amen. I'm not neurotic. I'm maybe more bordering on being a perfectionist, but I like order. I like structure. Can you say amen? Amen. That's how I am. Hallelujah. So anyway, the reason why I'm saying that to you is because when you put the dipstick in, what happens if you, listen to this, what happens if there's no oil in your engine? A lot of not only constipated, seized up Christians. So we come to the house of the Lord to get a lube job. Can you say amen? We come to the house of the Lord so God can what? Listen, even the shield of faith has to be oiled. Otherwise, when the dart comes into the shield, the Bible said, above all, take that shield of faith. Hallelujah. And when you take that shield of faith, every fiery dart of the devil is quenched. But if you do not grease, not grease for peace, but if you do not grease, I don't even know what grease for peace is. So anyway, if you do not grease your shield, you'll die on the battlefield. Well, without the anointing of God, you will die. You'll have a lot of word content. You'll be constipated. You will not have a flow of the Spirit of God. But when you're led by those, Bible says in Romans 8:14, those who are what? Led. Say led. Those who are led. Today, this is what we say. Well, I don't feel led. I don't feel led. So what I did in one of my, normally what I would do, I'll tell the pastor to go take me to the nearest place where they, what's it called, where you can get all your fishing rods and lead.
Like a bait store.
And I buy myself a lot of, I'll buy lids. I'll buy the smallest pieces that you can find. Amen. Maybe we'll do that. And I'll say, listen, every one of you, I want you to take this. It's a small ball. I found some small ones. Real small balls about that size, you know. Yeah, seriously. And then what I do is I say, okay, now I give everybody a lead. Because when you enter in here, I promise you, you're going to feel led. And the minute you say, I don't feel led, put your hands in your purse or in your pocket or whatever and say, I feel led. Because the church is full of lead poisoning. The church is full of lead poisoning. We don't feel led. Well, we'll give you a piece. And then we greet you at the door. We say, welcome to King's Chapel feel led. Amen. At the door. Because when you enter into the sanctuary, which is the holy place, God, you're going to sense the presence of God, the power of God. God is going to touch you. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, when my uncles came home and they got drunk, they gave all the money away. Oh, yeah. You want people to give? Get drunk with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. God will make a believer out of you quickly. Have you seen people that are drunk? I mean, they just take the money out and, yeah, you know, there's and praise God. Amen. What does that mean? A person's got to be saturated with the Holy Spirit to be faithful with these tithes, with these offerings. Can you say amen? Who gave you that money? Who gave you the very life that you have? Who gave you the breath that you breathe? Amen. I remember there was a story about this woman. She lived with a very, very abusive man. And he used to physically abuse her. And Billy Graham got saved under a powerful evangelist by the name of Mordecai Ham. Most people don't even know who Mordecai Ham is. The woman one day after the service tent meeting, she was standing there and the husband, make a long story shorter, a short story longer. The husband comes along and the woman said to Mordecai Ham, he said, you know, told him what happened. And said, where's your husband? His husband called the husband. He said, sir, I'm going to ask you a question. As long as you live on God's green earth, are you going to serve God? The man said, no. He said, look, I'm asking you another two times only. He asked him twice. The man said, no, and he dropped dead. He dropped dead. Because under the anointing of God, you see, it is dangerous when we attribute the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And it is dangerous when we attribute the works of the devil to the Holy Spirit. We got to know what's of God. We got to know what's of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. And God tonight wants to go a little deeper. Say a little deeper. I don't even know how we got to this so far, but anyway, we got here. So if God puts it, if you come to the altar tonight, amen, I may give you a little bit of a spanking. You see, amen. amen. I did that once. I was in Corpus Christi with an Assemblies of God pastor. His name is Stockstill. He is the Stockstill's Bethany Prayer Center. Is Larry Stockstill in Baton Rouge. This is his brother, his cousin. His name is William Stockstill. My friend, wonderful. He's a big guy, you know. Me and Bob McCrone do revival services for him. And wonderful. He's in Corpus Christi, Body of Christ. Corpus Christi in Texas. He was a bouncer for his father. And I mean, he still got that, you know, that big build. And he said, one day I was going to the meeting, he says, come and stay with me. Stay, my wife and I, empty nest, you know, we've got a big house. And so I go stay with him. And he's got guns all over, man. He's got under the bed. He's got guns in the cupboards. He's got, I mean, this man, he's loaded. And he told me, he said, look, you can get in, but you can't get out. He's telling me this. He said, you live, where you live? I said, I live in California. You live in L.A.? You don't have a gun? He said, I'll give you a gun. How can you live in L.A. without a gun? He said, I'll get you one. And his associate pastor got in, stole all his rifle, and got out. Yeah. While he was in church on a Wednesday night. And it is true. So you come to the altar, and I remember that church, and I was talking about it. I can't remember about what I was talking about, and then, you know, I had like a piece of stick like this, and then I started to spank some of them, you know, just give them a nice spanking. I did it, yeah, I did it, and they all of them just laughed. They laughed, amen. While they're getting spanked, they're laughing, amen. Not because there was no oil there. I felt lit. So no telling tonight what God is going to do. Can you say amen? I mean, you know, thank God this is not a piece of iron. You know, so, but really speaking, the dipstick proves to us So this is a good exercise for us, spiritual exercise. Can you say amen? And that is, if you know, today you can go so many miles, you know, 3,000 miles and 5,000 miles, and even now with the expensive oils, and you know, the more, I mean, I love cologne. My wife is she's a cologne ambassador and a makeup artist, and she said, my grace is to make women look beautiful. Women come to her never wore makeup before. You know, just say, I'm here, and you know, can you make me look beautiful? And I'm a cologne person. I love colognes. I just love colognes. And so I meet somebody that's selling this stuff. Amen? So, from a birthday, you know what I get, right? I get cologne. Amen? So, besides other things, she gets me. So, I used to use, back in the day, not now, but back then, I used to like Dolce & Gabbana. And certain colognes with all the notes and stuff, you know, it smells good on you. So I've obviously upgraded. So I was wearing that perfume, and in South Africa, we drink our tea hot. Not coffee drinkers, we are tea drinkers. I mean, we drink three times a day, we get teed off, you know. Seriously, if you work, they bring you tea at 10 o'clock, they bring you tea at lunchtime, they bring you tea at 3 o'clock. They got a maid making the tea for you, amen. And what we do is we like to boil our milk, we like to boil the milk, and then we like to boil the water, and then what we do is we basically got a half water and a half of milk, and we boil the milk, we boil the water, we put the tea bag in, and then we let it soak, say let it soak, amen. We let it soak, praise God. And then after a few minutes, we pour in the milk in. It tastes wonderful, like a latte. I kind of drink, dairy, and because I'm gluten-free, and so I got a protocol. I love it, but it doesn't love me. I love ice cream. Ice cream don't love me. Amen? Seriously, I love ice cream. Now and again, I said, okay, let me take a risk, and then I end up with a sinus headache. Anyway, don't go there. See, it's food allergies. Amen? So how did I get there? Anyway. What am I talking about? The tea. So anyway, when you put the pot on the stove, we got this. What do you call those stoves with the? Can't get the name now. The ones that hasn't got the plates on it. Not the teapot. The stove. The electric stove. Okay. So we got the electric stove and. So, you know, there's no coils. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm living in California. And so when you boil the milk, the key is to watch the milk. If you don't watch it, what happens? It boils over. Amen? It's good to boil over, you know what I'm saying? And so anyway, it boils over. So what happened? My wife is upstairs. And so I know she's going to come downstairs. I know exactly what's going to happen because I boiled the milk. So what I do is I took it, try to clean it up before she can come downstairs, you see. And so I try to clean this thing up, you know. I mean, nobody wants to get kind of, you know, whatever, you know. So, but she's got the right to scold me. Can you say amen? Dr. Hammond used to meet us at the airport. And the first thing he does, I'm there, he ignores me. And he says, are you keeping this man straight? And I'm thinking to myself, why is he telling that to her? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what's the deal here, you know? Anyway, he knows what he's saying. Oh, yeah, a woman can keep you straight. But the word Eve comes from the word Eva, say Eva. So Eve comes from Eva. You know what Eva means? I'll tell you because you don't know. And I'll tell some of you that saying, what does that mean, you know? Well, Eva means to be held accountable. Say to be held accountable. So the woman... A true woman of God will hold her husband accountable. Did you do that what you promised? See, because we need that. I said, we need that. I said, we men need that. And all the women should be saying, hallelujah. But you're getting quiet. You're getting so quiet. I think I'm in a kind of a Methodist, Presbyterian, Reformed church tonight. Amen. So wait. Yes, about the boiling of the milk. So what happened was, now I got a problem because it's a electric stove and the milk went in between the oven, which is glass. It got in there somehow. Say it got in there somehow. Now I got to open up the oven before she comes down. I got to take the screws off before she comes down. I have to clean this thing up, and while I'm opening it, the screws fall in. They fall right into the. It's like two pieces of glass. It falls right in there. Now I'm thinking, oh my God! So I take off to the hardware store before she gets up. Amen. Because see. So anyway, I go to the hardware store. I'm in this row right here looking for the screws, you know, because I just screwed up. So looking for the screws. And then this lady is on the other aisle. And she's like, you know, I don't know. Suddenly I hear this voice. This is what she said. She said, someone is wearing my husband's cologne. I'm in the other aisle. So the men's, not me. And so, so I'm here in this side, she's on that side. So I go around and I said, ma'am, what cologne does your husband wear? She said, Dolce & Gabbana. You see, she was more interested in the cologne. She was more interested in the anointing. The anointment. She was more interested in the goosebumps. But remember, that anointing was worn by a person called the Holy Spirit. We must fall in love not with the cologne, because the cologne is only the anointing. It's a byproduct of your obedience. God in his word speaks about it all throughout the scripture. The Holy Spirit's a person. Think about us coming down to the church. We're getting touched by the Holy Spirit. We love the anointing. We can sense the anointing. Hallelujah. But what about the person? Who's more important, the person or the cologne? The person. His name is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So what happens to you and I if we do not become yielded vessels? What happens to us? Turn to the book of Luke and I'll tell you what happens to us. This is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Well, God is really taking us all in a different direction tonight, I can tell you that much. Amen. I don't know what that direction is. All right, so if you can catch this, okay, it's in the book of Luke chapter 11. And so this is where we're going to go, Luke chapter 11, if I can get there. And let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13, is that all right, the place? Because you're in Luke 13 and you're that close, amen, go to Luke 11. Amen. Never go too far. Just say, just go there. Hallelujah. All right. So anyway, I want you to listen to what this verse is about, what this verse says, okay? It says right here, verse 20, it says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has already come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, from his courtyard, it says he guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed, his property is at peace, and his property is secure. Verse number 22. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he had relied, and divides up and distributes all his goods as plunder and spoil. He who is not with me, siding and believing with me, is against me. And he who does not gather with me, engage in my interest, scatters. Engage in my interest. Verse 24 is where I really want to zero in tonight. When, everyone say when. An unclean spirit has gone out of a person. It roams in a dry place. The Greeks calls it a waterless place. A church without the Holy Ghost is a habitation for demons. I'm going to say it again. A church without the Holy Spirit is in Revelation. It's a habitation for devils. When God comes in like a flood, all the deadwood rises up. Can you say amen? It says right here in your Bible, folks. It says when an unclean spirit leaves. People say don't understand what an unclean spirit. The Bible talks about the unclean spirit. It's rife in the body of Christ. It says right here when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person. It roams about through waterless places. A place without the Holy Ghost, a place without the Holy Spirit becomes a waterless place. And when you are a waterless place, you become dry. And think about it, you become rigid. Think about when you are dry. Think about it like you're in a dry, arid desert. Think about it. Father and son, where they were riding this donkey. And so as they're riding it, and they're going through the desert, going to the city. So the father, scorching heat, arid, hot, wind is blowing, sand and dust. And so the father is on it, and the son is walking. Came to the first group of people. You can name them, whoever you want to name them. What kind of a father are you? You are a man, and you're allowing your son. Before you know it, the son, he's riding it, and the father is walking. Come to the second group of people. I cannot believe this. You let your father walk. Unbelievable. You're a young man. Get off that donkey. He gets up. And both the father and the son jump on the donkey. Now they're driving. Come to the third group of people. In South Africa, we call them SPCA. Cruelty to animals. Unbelievable. What are you thinking? Both of you, father and son, riding this animal. Guess what? They both know carrying the donkey into the city. So who are you going to please? People? We have a lot of people pleasers. I can preach. We have a lot of self-pleasers. I can preach. Self-reliance, self-dependence. The acronym for self, I'll tell you what it is. Self is S is for surrender. Say surrender. Surrender. This is what I do every morning. This is not my prayer time. It's when before I go to bed and when I get up in the morning, and my wife will testify to that. I get out of the bed, I'm on my knees. I do a self-acrostic. S is for surrender. E is to empty yourself. L is to love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And F is for a fresh touch of God upon my life. I do a self-acrostic. Every morning is not my prayer time. My wife, someone said, what are you doing? I'm praying. But really, I'm doing an acrostic. Self. God wants us. We have ego. Ego, E-G-O, the acronym is edging God out. What does ego mean? The acrostic or the acronym for ego is edging God out. But I tell you what God spoke to me and dropped a word in my spirit when I was sitting there. God, does everyone say God? Listen, this is the time where you should really get excited. God has got how many letters? Words. Three words. I get my letters and words mixed up. You know, you can see now, you know, when a person gets drunk, I mean, he gets all these words and, you know, they get like almost like you get tongue-tied. God has got three words. G. Write it down. Guaranteed. The acronym for God is, our God is, he guarantees your miracle. He guarantees when you tithe, he'll open up the windows of heaven. God is the guarantor. Can you say amen? They won't give you money today if you don't have the collateral and somebody doesn't co-sign and if your credit score is bad, your FICO is bad. And what happens? We look for guarantees. God says number one, G is for guarantee. I can guarantee you the God that I serve is more real to me than my wife and the car that I drive and the air that I breathe. That's how real God is. Nobody will understand that. G is for what? Guaranteed. Everyone say guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed is money in the bank. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. Say God said it.
God said it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
That settles it. G is for guaranteed. O is for overnight. Say overnight. You can go to bed. The Bible says even when you're sleeping, God gives. Do you know that God gives while you are sleeping? He gives to his beloved good sleep. Who is the beloved? We are the beloved. Why we are the beloved? I'm glad you asked. It's because we are accepted in the beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's actually, when you study the Greek, it means God gives and he gives. While you're sleeping, God gives. The very breath beside everything else, where do you think it comes from? Who sustains you? Wake up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in this day. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. We come and have a high water. Yes, we go through struggles. Yes, we go through sicknesses. Yes, there are times when we're looking at our bank statement and we're looking, how are we going to pay this bill and how are we going to pay that bill? But listen, David said, I've been young. Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Hallelujah. We're not beggars. David said, I was young and I'm old. I may not look old, but I say you got a grace, you got to age gracefully. Can you say amen? While there's breath in my body, hallelujah. Got to run this race. Can you say amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. Guaranteed. Ever say guaranteed?
Guaranteed.
What does G stands for? Guaranteed. What does the O stand for? G. Give me a G. Give me an O. What is O? D is delivery. God said tonight, there's a guaranteed overnight package coming to your door. There's a guaranteed overnight delivery by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can go to bed one way and wake up the next morning. How many of you get deposits in your account? Direct deposit. Woo! I remember getting up, going to bed and saying, my goodness, how are we going to do this? Wake up in the morning and, woo, praise God. There's nothing like a direct deposit. Amen. I mean, all of us want that deposit. Can you say amen? Well, God says, listen to this. Again, we're back to the rod again. Every morning, I lay in the presence of God. You see, what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. And so when I lay in the presence of God, people say, when he's taking his coat off, that means he's ready to go to work. That's what that means. So every morning, what do? I lay. I got my prayer blanket. I have a lot of prayer blankets. I did a 4-week revival in Slidell. They gave me a prayer blanket. Written Slidell on it, and I still have it. I was in South Africa, and I was there for 9 months, and doing these as a consultant and doing meetings and helping this one church that's over 3,000 people that my wife and I helped to establish. So they had 30 people. I think it was 65 people. Now they're running several thousand people. So they bring me in from time to time, really honor me. Really honor me. And there was a lady there, and I said, can you, we're having a prayer conference. I said, can you make me a prayer blanket? She said, sure. And I still have the blue prayer blanket with fringes. And she made me a prayer pillow too. She said, what I do, I put that prayer blanket down. And I get before the Lord. And I deposit my life before the Lord like that dead dry rod. The Bible says the 12 rods were chosen. They on that rod, there were all the tribes and all the inheritances and everything was written on those. And there was murmuring in the camp. And God said, I'll tell you what you do. Ask each one of the tribes to bring a rod. And this dead dry rod, I want you to place it in my presence. Hallelujah. A dead dry rod lying in the presence of Almighty God. This is the safest place we can be. It's called a Holy Ghost throwdown. It's called trusting God. The word faith means Holy Ghost throwdown. You throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I do that. I say, Lord, I am here as a dead, dry rod. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that as I lay in your presence, as I soak in worship, and I soak in the word of God, Father, you can life me. Aaron's rod budded. Say Aaron's rod budded. Show me a tree. You show me a tree. You show me a dead, dry rod with a G-O-D, a guaranteed overnight delivery. The next morning, say the next morning, about this time tomorrow. Can you say amen? The prophet of God said about this time tomorrow. And he was in unbelief and he was trampled at the gate. That's what will happen to people. They'll be trampled if they don't believe what God wants to do in this house. You'll be trampled. You'll be left behind. Because they said, oh, God can make, you know, holes in the sky, you know. He was the man that the king laid his head against. You've got to be careful who you lay your head on and who you're resting on. And what happened the very next day? What happened? What did they sell? They were eating dove's dung. Say dove's dung. And the ass's head. Say dove's dung. You know what dove's dung is? Our churches that are eating the leftovers of the Holy Spirit. That's dove's dung. There are churches today that are talking about the good old days. What about today? I'm not living in the good old days. I'm not living in the bad old days. I'm not living in the future. I'm living in the nasty now and now. I'm talking to him about the good old days. Tell me what God is doing right now. I say, God, every day, I come and lay in your presence. See, I'm giving you some nuggets of how you can spend time with God. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God first. Seek ye first. Kingdom of God has prior claim. Seek ye first. The order of priority is you seek God. You wait upon him as a dead, dry rod. It doesn't matter how much you are anointed. Amen. You can glow in the dark. Amen. Angels can appear to you. But when you enter this house, there's submission. There's order in the house of God. Because the kingdom of God functions on order and structure. Can you say amen? Amen. So you lay there and say, God, I'm trusting you. If you under the old, how much more better is the new? God, if you can take a dead, dry rod and overnight, say overnight, God calls that dead, dry rod. What did he do to it? The Bible says he'd blossomed. He'd bloomed. Hallelujah. You know why? It was deposited. It actually says that Moses took the rods and deposited in the presence of God. How do you like that? How do you like that deposit? Amen. I would rather that deposit. Oh, you say, well, where's it? Go read it. It's in the Bible. You know where the reference is, Pastor? About where God took that, where Moses took those 12 rods. Places them there to stop the murmuring. Say, stop the murmuring. It's called the resurrection principle. He says right there, he says, I'll stop this murmuring that's going on in the camp. That rod overnight, the Bible says it budded. Say budded. You may be a budding preacher, but call them. Budded, blossomed, it bore almond fruit overnight. That's the God that we serve. Never forget that, church. He's a G-O-D. He's guaranteed overnight delivery. You can go to bed and wake up the next morning healed. You can go to bed bankrupt and wake up, hallelujah, in the morning. And God's got supernatural provision waiting for you because of your obedience. It's a do or die mentality. Amen. Paul says, I die daily. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You got too much of I. Everybody, everything is I. iPhone. iPad. Satan said I five times and he was kicked out. Yeah. I. You got to bend the I into a C. What is that? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified. 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 Yeah. Crucify the I. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. But Christ liveth. Christ prayeth. Christ worshipeth. It's about Jesus in me, the hope of glory. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Oh, the Bible says it indwells this death-doomed body. Hallelujah. And it quickens this body. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Hey, can you say amen? That's who energizes us. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead indwells me, it'll quicken this death-doomed body. It'll quicken this mortal body. And I declare and decree before you, I shall not die but live to declare the glory of God. To talk about the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. Our God is moving in this day. Let's not talk about the move. Let's experience the move of God. Let's not talk about the demonstration. Let's experience it. But remember, you've got to become yielded. Yielded to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. This is called Adam's Ale. Adam's Ale. This is what we call this. Can you see me? The water in South Africa is, people have traveled all over the world, but they say this. We just love your water. You can drink the water from the faucet. I don't know about now. Amen. Everything was back in the day. Amen. Good water. Hallelujah. And then I was traveling, and then I started drinking water, and I got sick. And then from that time on, I watch this. We come to the prophet of God. And the prophet of God says something. He said, the city is pleasant. Fairmont is a pleasant city. You missed a good place. Say amen. Why is it unpleasant? What are you doing here? I said, Fairmont is a pleasant city. You are a pleasant people. You don't live in Pleasantville, but you are pleasant. Can you say amen? But he said something. He said the city is a good city. But he said the water is bad. Washing of the water by the word. He said the water that you are drinking is causing miscarriages, is causing death, is causing people to die. And the church of Jesus Christ today, listen to me very carefully under the anointing of God, I'll tell you, we need to understand why people are dying prematurely, because they're drinking from the wrong stream. He said the city is pleasant, but the water is bad. The water is what's causing the miscarriage. The water is what's causing sickness. The water is what's causing the what are you drinking? If I don't drink living water, this the Bible says, Jesus, I'll give you water if you drink of this water. I got too much of governor water in me. And you got too much of your last name. Too much of rice or water. I'll be the first one to confess. I've got too much of governor water in me. God wants to get all that governor water out of my life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. I thank God for my parents. I thank God for mom and dad. I love my mom. She's gone on to be with the Lord. I love my dad. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Amen. They all got saved under my ministry. I got them water baptized. They sat under my ministry. My mother was proud to see her son up here ministering God's word, ministering life to the people. Proud look on her face. But I got too much of governor water in me. And God wants you to get rid of stinking thinking. He wants you to have the washing of the water by the word of God. People say, you are brainwashed. I said, yes, I am. But I chose who's going to wash my brains. His name is Jesus. It's the washing of the water by the word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. What pills are you on? I'm on the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. I like this. What pills are you on?
Gospel.
The gospels. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no pill like the gospel. The Bible says there's no high like the high in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we can be in high spirits.
Amen.
Woo! Glory be to God. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You come in dragging. But you ain't leaving the same way that you came.
Amen.
Amen. I said, Lord, I'm dragging. God said, yeah, but you got the Ancient of Days living in you.
Amen.
You ain't dragging, son. We got the Ancient of Days. He lives in us. He breathes through us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lift your hands up right there. Go ahead and lift your hands right where you are. Remember, you can't kiss and talk at the same time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All these are just full of testimonies. That's what they are. People that have been touched down through the years of our ministry. Got a series called The Supernatural Encounter of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we can pray for you, getting you ready. Glory be to God. Say, getting me ready. God is getting us ready. Looking for a piece of paper. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Order, Pastor, come over. Come as thou and stand thou at my right hand. I will make your enemies my footstool. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. We're having a revival up in a place called Wisconsin. Reverend Gary Sisk was the pastor who came that was relating to that house where we were having the meetings. Gary Sisk is a board-certified counselor, graduated from Oral Roberts University. He came to one of our meetings, and this is his testimony. This is his handwriting. This is his handwriting here. Pastor, I want you to read this for me. And I want you to obey the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking for another piece of paper. But anyway, this is the piece of paper. Hallelujah. I do not know what it is going to do for you, my pastor, but I love you. You're a good man. Your steps are being ordered by the Lord. There's a deep hunger inside of you. There's a deep calling to the deep. I believe God says, son, it's my hand, it's my plan. And I'll do it because I love you. I'll do it because I love my people. You stand before the Lord tonight. I sense Lift your hands, Pastor. Lift your hands. God has deposited into my life. And I want to deposit it into you. Every deposit that I receive sovereignly by the Lord, I want you to receive it tonight. Give me some Kleenex there, please. Hallelujah. When your nose starts running, you know God's here. Amen. So tonight, I stand before you. Elijah said, he said, I stand before God. That's what Elijah said. He said, when he went to see the king, and we said there was going to be a drought, and he ran for his life and hit by the brook called Cherith. Cherith means a cutting place. God's going to do a lot of pruning, Pastor. New growth, new blessings. Took him to, and he was at the river called Cherith, and there God supernaturally sustained him. He drank from that brook. The ravens brought him a McDaniel sandwich, morning and evening. Some say, well, he probably got it from Ahab's house. Maybe he left his window open. But God used a raven, an unclean bird, a very selfish bird. We are the ravens. That was our nature before. God used a raven to feed the prophet of God. Then God said to him, he said, "When the what happened? Well, the brook dried up. I had one person that used to write us a check every year. Probably gave us about $450,000 over the years. Just loved what God was doing through us. It's not me, really. I'm nothing. Without fail, every year, $25,000 used to come in. And suddenly the brook dried up. God says, well, it's time for you to go to the house of Zarephath. You see, this is the house of Zarephath. What is Zarephath? House of supernatural provision. This is the house of Zarephath.
Amen.
House of supernatural provision. So I'm sending you there, and a widow woman will sustain you. He thought, well, maybe her husband died and left her a big fat check. But when he got there, the widow, what was she doing? She was gathering sticks, preparing her last supper. And she said, me and my son, we're going to eat this. And then we're going to die in style. The prophet of God said, first, say first.
First.
Look at this man. He calls him a man of God. He's taking that woman's social security check. That's the last check she's got. All they want up down there is my money. No, God wants you. They first gave themselves to the Lord. Can you say amen? Read your word. They first gave themselves to the Lord. God provided for his servant, for his handmaiden. God has seen the sacrifices that you and your family have made. And listen to this, you can write it down. God is always drawn to the place of sacrifice. Study your Bible. And you cannot worship God without a sacrifice. Dr. James Morocco and his precious wife, Pastor Colleen, Pastor Joshua, and all the extensions. It's sacrifice for what he does. But you see the hand of God. You see supernatural provision. He's got the gift of faith. Got to just sit with them, hear the testimonies, and you want to just give everything away because of the grace of God. A couple of weeks ago, God said to me, "Son, I've given you the gift of prayer. I've given you a gift. It's called the gift of prayer." It's all right. So tonight, Pastor, as you raise your hand, God is saying to you tonight, this is a house under King's Cathedral. Under that covering, every house is a house of supernatural provision. Can you say amen? Supernaturally, God will sustain you. God has birthed this ministry by the Holy Spirit, and it'll be sustained by the Holy Spirit. And every place upon this earth where your foot shall tread, God has given it to you. Hallelujah. God said this morning, this place is too small. He's going to enlarge your tent. He's going to extend your boundaries. He's going to lengthen your cords. Hallelujah. People will come from the north, east, south, and from the west, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Glory be to God. This house will be renowned because the King's Cathedral is a renowned, tried, and tested, and investigated ministry. Can you say amen? And it's a pure ministry. Can you say amen? There's purity.